Support for the Marketplace Morning Report podcast provided by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org.
Bird Bug Hits Britain.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. British officials say they've contained the outbreak of bird flu, which hit a turkey farm in the east of England last week. But there are fears that confidence in British poultry industry could be damaged. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
More than 160,000 turkeys from the affected farm have now been culled. Scientists say the virus has been confined. Britain's health minister said that although she was taking the threat of a human pandemic seriously, the risk of it is negligible. The major worry now is economic. Britain's poultry export trade, worth around $750 million a year, could suffer. Japan's already suspended imports of British birds. And there's concern the outbreak could dent British consumer confidence. Retail analyst Richard Hyman says it's certainly a devastating setback for the affected company, Europe's largest turkey producer, Bernard Matthews.
The company is known for turkey products, and I think that in that sense it's extremely vulnerable. So I would have thought that it will do very serious damage, and it probably will be quite permanent in many respects.
Scientists are still struggling to find out how the deadly virus got onto the farm and inside one of the secure sheds where the turkeys were kept. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Remember the big scare over spinach last September? Well, that national recall due to E. coli contamination has apparently contaminated consumer confidence in leafy green vegetables. A new national survey by Rutgers University is being released today. It suggests that broad recall could have lasting effects on spinach and other similar vegetables. And the E. coli problem at Taco Bell's on the East Coast 3 months later affected consumer perception in food safety. Meanwhile, the U.S. beef industry plans to monitor talks this week between U.S. trade officials and South Korea. Both sides will hold talks in a dispute over South Korea's repeated rejection of American beef shipments. Sarah Gardner says this disagreement has become a bone of contention in free trade negotiations.
South Korea used to be the third largest market for American beef, but it banned imports in 2003 after a case of mad cow was discovered in the U.S. South Korea lifted that ban recently, but inspectors there have rejected all the American shipments since. They say the meat contained small pieces of bone banned under the current agreement. Joe Sheely is with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
The kind of bone fragments with these shipments are really a sliver the size of a thumbnail. We really feel like they're looking for any excuse to reject these shipments.
Sheely contends South Korea simply wants to protect its own beef industry. The chief U.S. trade negotiator has warned a proposed free trade agreement with South Korea won't happen unless the two countries settle this beef over beef. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
A strong end-of-the-week performance on Wall Street. Even though the Dow slipped a bit on Friday for the week, it was actually up. The Dow lost 20 points, but stands at 12,653. The Nasdaq climbed 7 points to 2475. The S&P added 2 points to 1448. But in Tokyo today, the Nikkei tumbled 202 points. The UN says almost 50,000 people flee the war in Iraq each month. 750,000 refugees now live in Jordan, mostly in Amman. Life is safer there, but not cheaper. In Jordan, prices are high and refugees have to pay for many services like health care and electricity that were practically free in Iraq. One of the biggest strains on refugee families is that this year, many children aren't allowed into public schools. Amelia Templeton reports.
A new semester is starting up in Amman, Jordan, but not for many of the children of Iraqi refugees. This year, two-thirds of them did not enroll in school. Abu Mohammed is a 34-year-old refugee from Kirkuk with three kids.
My children go to the window and they watch other children on their way to school. It makes them feel deep sadness. They ask me why. Why don't we go to school?
In September, Abu Mohammed's children were turned away by their neighborhood school. A new government decree says Iraqi children can only attend public school if their families have official residency in Jordan. Effectively, that means public school is not an option for poor and middle-class refugees. That's left poor Iraqi parents, like Abu Mohammed, trying to scrape together tuition for private school. The cost for one child is often as much as 6 months' rent for a refugee family. Hanin Hamza is with the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees in Jordan.
Sometimes they let only the boys go into schools, or sometimes the elder person in the family drop out of school and have to work, and the smaller brother or smaller sisters go to school.
Haider is a mother of five who fled Iraq 6 years ago. Last year, two of her daughters were expelled from elementary school when the headmaster discovered Haider wasn't an official resident.
I had to put them in a private school. They were brilliant students, the top of their class.
A charity organization helped her pay the girls' tuition. But in September, her two sons were dismissed from their public high school, also because of their immigration status. Haider wasn't receiving enough aid to send all four children to school. So she sent Haider, age 13, and Mohammed, age 16, to work in a shoe factory.
I'm so angry inside because they are working. My boys are also very bright. I wanted them to be doctors, engineers.
Still, this family is lucky. Kirkuk refugee Abu Mohammed couldn't afford private tuition for any of his kids. Now he's questioning whether leaving Iraq was the best choice for his family.
I know it's very difficult, but now I'm considering going back for the sake of their studies. But what if one of them is kidnapped? What if one of them is killed?
The Minister of Education told Marketplace the public schools are already overcrowded. He's asked the United Nations to help pay tuition and residencies for Iraqi refugees so that Jordan doesn't have to bear the burden on its own. In Amman, I'm Amelia Templeton for Marketplace.
I have to confess, I don't drink coffee. But looking around, I would think that Starbucks is the place a lot of people go for their Java fix. Maybe. But Consumer Reports says McDonald's coffee actually tastes the best. The magazine sent trained tasters to McDonald's, Burger King, and Dunkin' Donuts. The tasters didn't add cream. They drank it black. They said the coffee at the Golden Arches was decent and moderately strong, but lacking what they called the subtle top notes needed to make it rise and shine. The magazine says Starbucks was strong, but burnt and bitter enough to make your eyes water instead of open. Well, maybe they should have just had a frappuccino. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.